Good morning to you. Nice to see you all. Now we're turning, please, to Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. And we read a few verses from that chapter, please. The chapter begins with the wonderful process whereby God reduces the very, very large company of men who had rallied to the call of Gideon. But they were too many. Now, you and I would ever think, oh, there could never be too many supporters. The more who gather to support us in our stand, why, that's wonderful. But God, when he saw the crowd, said, no, it's too many. And so there began a process of thinning the ranks. The last means God used was bring them down to the river, let them drink. Bring them down to the waters, let them drink. And those who drink, keeping an eye on what's going on around. In other words, they reached into the water and they lifted up a handful of water and drank it and went back for more. The others that just threw themselves down on their tummies and stuck their face into the river. Well, when you're doing that, you can't see what's going on around you. In actual fact, you're not interested in what's going on around you. You're only interested in satisfying your thirst. But those who gathered the water in their hand, they were men of a soldierly spirit, and they were on guard. The drinking was second to watching. And God said, those are the ones I want. Always among God's people, you know, boys and girls, there's that handful that are alert, aware, conscious of the issues of life. Most Christians, you know, live only for their job, for their comforts, for their own well-being. But then there are those Christians, small number, who live for the work of God, who are ever watchful for it, ever thinking of it, spiritually ever conscious of what the kingdom of God needs, and they're ever praying for it. Small handful. Which group are you in? Which group are you in? Well, we'll read from verse 10. The chosen ones have now been selected, and soon they're going to be going into battle. But just before they do, verse 9, I should have said, verse 9 tells us, and it came to pass the same night, just on the very eve of the battle, that the Lord said unto him, that's Gideon, arise, get thee down unto the host of the enemy, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host, that is, go down to fight them. Then went he down with Purah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. Gideon and his friend, they're creeping in the darkness, and they creep right up to the ranks of the enemy, and they're able to overhear this conversation. Behold, says this man, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else, save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian, and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel, and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. I might just point a couple of things out to you before we come to the main part of our study today. You see the symbol there that God uses of Gideon? A cake of barley bread. That's what the man saw in his dream. A cake of barley bread rolling down, flattening the tent. And the man who heard the dream said, you know what that means? That's Gideon. And God has given him the victory over us. Point is this, barley bread was the lowest form of bread. Wheat was the best form of bread. Barley was the poor man's bread, if I might put it like that. And doubtless Gideon would have been looked upon as a nobody. But it's the nobodies, boys and girls, that God uses. That's who God wants, nobodies. If you think yourself a nobody today, what am I? Who am I? Sure, I've no skills and I'm really nobody. God wants you. People who are full of themselves, think themselves to be wonderful and great, God doesn't want them. He can do nothing with them. But the nobodies, they're God's cakes of barley bread. And with them, he can work great miracles. Now, this experience that Gideon had just on the very, very, very eve of the battle enabled him to enter that battle filled with confidence. See what the verse 15 said? And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped. He thanked God. He blessed the Lord. And returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And I might just point out the humility of Gideon there. He didn't say the Lord hath delivered into my hand. But he said he's delivered into your hand. Even though the barley bread was a symbol of Gideon. Yet Gideon didn't become big-headed and say, look what I'm going to do. But he recognized that the victory would be given to those men who were with him. But he's full of confidence now. Boys and girls, I want to emphasize that this morning. Gideon entered this battle confident of success. And herein lies a wonderful likeness to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember the wonderful words he one time spoke unto Peter? You find it in Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 18. That's a combination of numbers that you ought to try and memorize. That's a good reference. Matthew 16, the verse 18. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know in the Bible that when the king met with his counselors, they held their meeting in the gates of the city. That was the sort of town hall. That was the custom. Of course, when you have the wonderful weather of Israel, you can hold your meetings in the open air. That was the place where decisions were made, where those in authority gathered together. And the Lord Jesus says, the gates of hell, all the powers of hell, all the authorities of hell will not prevail against me. I will build my church. That's confidence, isn't it? He didn't say, I hope to build my church. He said, I will build my church. You get a grip of this today. What God has purposed will come to pass. There's no power that can stop what God has planned coming to pass. Now, we know what it's like to make plans and make arrangements and then we have to change them. This happens, that happens, the other thing happens. But not so with God. All things will work together to bring about what God has planned. And I want to show you how that in the New Testament in particular, this is plainly taught to us. First and foremost, the people who are God's people, those that will be with the Savior in heaven. God chose them in eternity past. Before the world was formed, before an angel was formed, before anything existed, God chose a people. and they will be with him in heaven. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse 4. Very quickly. I hope we can get this little study finished today. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse 4. According. Now, these introductory remarks by Paul in this opening chapter of Ephesians are well worth studying. They read like a song. It's beautiful poetry. It's wonderful language. According as he hath chosen us in him. That is, the Father chose us in Christ. He gave us to Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That's why the Lord Jesus was confident. That's why he was able to say, I am come to seek and to save those that are lost. My sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me. Because his Father had planned and purposed this from all eternity. Look again, please. And we're looking at 1 Peter. That takes you way towards the back of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, I've told you that God chose a people for himself. Gave them to his Son before the earth in order stood or had received its frame. God made that choice. But look at verse 18 of 1 Peter and the chapter 1. And there Peter says, for as much as ye know. Now here's something that the New Testament believer in the days of the apostles understood. This was part of what they were taught. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain or your empty, your silly conversations received by tradition from your father, that which you have been led to believe, that it's by silver and by gold, by giving and working and so forth and so on, that you're going to get to be redeemed. We've taught you that's not the case. But here is the truth. With the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So you see, the Lord Jesus was confident because he knew that the Father had ordained before the foundation of the world that he would be the redeemer of his people, that he would shed his blood and purchase them. What confidence this gives us. We can sing of blessed assurance, and rightly so, because the purchase of our souls out of sin, out of damnation, and the bringing and carrying of us to heaven was settled in eternity. That's why the Lord was so full of confidence. We have a picture of that in Gideon, going down to the battle. God has given us the victory. This I know. So it was with the Lord Jesus. All that lay before him, the great battles, and we'll never know the depths of what it was the Savior went through at Calvary, but he went through it knowing that he would gain the victory. Never a moment's doubt, you know. He knew he would gain the victory. The sacrifice, then, that purchased our souls was planned in eternity. The victory of the Lord Jesus at the cross was prepared from before the world was created. What it was he was going to accomplish at Calvary was settled before the world was created. Do you remember the name that was given to the Savior? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sin. It wasn't a matter of, well, he's coming here hoping to save his people from their sin. He's coming here and he's going to make a very good attempt at saving his people from their sin. No, he shall save his people from their sin. Confident. Settled. Absolutely settled. Matthew chapter 25. The chapters 24 and 25 deal with the last things They deal with the second coming of the Lord Jesus and the judgment of the Antichrist, and then what takes place after that, which includes the rewards of the people of God. In Matthew chapter 25, well, let's read from verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now, look at the assurance here. These words were uttered 2,000 years ago, and they're uttered about events that haven't yet happened. But there's no doubts, no questions, that they're going to happen. When the Son of Man shall come, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another. A shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. This is the professing church. All those who say they're Christians gather out of all the nations of the world. And they're gathered before the Lord. And he begins to divide them. Because you see, not everybody who says they're a Christian is a Christian. And one day it will be shown who is and who isn't a real Christian. Don't think that you can pretend and that by, as it were, deceiving the teacher and deceiving your parents and deceiving the minister and those around you into believing that, oh yes, you're saved, that that will get you to heaven. The Lord's going to gather everybody who says they're Christians one day, and he's going to separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, notice these words, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. If you're saved today, the kingdom that you're going to is waiting there for you. It's prepared. And your name is there. Peter talks about our inheritance in heaven being reserved for us. Your name's there. The name of the redeemed is written down in the Lamb's book of life from all eternity. How marvelous this is. Gideon was rejoicing, worshipping the Lord and praising him as he prepared for the fight. He says, we're going to win. We can't lose. God has said the victory is ours. And so it is with you and with me, if we really see it, the victory is ours. The Lord Jesus is going to accomplish what it is he set out to do. And the enemy who fills the world at the present time, because there are far, far more ungodly, anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christ people in the world, mocking, sneering, laughing at the little handful of believers. But still that little handful is going to gain the victory. Aren't you glad you're saved today? Aren't you glad you're secure in Christ today? If you're not saved, then the call of the gospel is for you to come to the Savior and get right with God and be numbered amongst his people. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. Let us all just bow in a wee word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank thee for your mercy, and we thank thee for what thou hast revealed in thy word concerning the victory that is ours. Praise God, nothing can stop the Lord Jesus obtaining that which has been planned for him for all eternity. Fill the hearts of the boys and the girls here who are saved with the joy that filled the heart of Gideon as he saw that the victory was his. Fill them with joy as they ponder the fact that they will be amongst those who gain the victory and reign with Christ forever. And speak to the boys and girls who are not saved, but mercy upon them. Bless the school today. Bless everyone connected with the school today. Thank you for answered prayer, Lord, concerning Mrs. Neville. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Amen and amen.